Next, we're going to talk about bone histology. And for this, you're going to want to look at some of the diagrams in your textbook. There is a diagram called the Histology of Compact Bone. There's also another diagram called the Structure of Osseous Tissues. They're usually very close to each other in the chapter. The figure numbers are going to vary depending on which edition of the book you have. In the one of the newer editions of the Martini textbook, it's figures 6-3 and figures 6-4, although, again, that may be slightly different in your textbook, depending on which edition you have. But I want to talk about the internal structure of the bones, or the structure of the bones at a cellular level. And the first thing I want to mention is we're going to skip over a little bit of the bone histology. We're going to go right down to the different kinds of bone cells, and these are the osteoblasts, the osteocytes, and the osteoclasts. And so locate those on your lecture outline. They should be right near where it's talking about bone histology. Osteoblasts are stem cells for bones. They produce new bone matrix and new bone proteins as well. So the osteoblasts are going to be the bone producers. They make new bone tissue. The osteocytes are mature bone cells, and their job is to maintain the bone tissue. And they do things like monitor the protein and mineral content of the matrix and basically communicate with one another and maintain the bone tissue in a healthy state. The osteoclasts, on the other hand, remove bone matrix and release minerals back into the bloodstream. So the mature bone cells, the ones that are the most stable, of course, are the osteocytes. But the osteoblasts and the osteoclasts are both involved in bone remodeling and in bone repair. The osteoblasts are going to make new bone matrix. Osteoblasts are going to make new bone matrix. The osteoclasts, with a C, are the ones that remove old or damaged bone tissue and allow for the laying down of new bone tissue. So the thing to keep in mind about the bones is that they're constantly being remodeled, and all of your old bone tissue is constantly being removed and replaced with brand new bone tissue, which is part of what keeps the skeleton very strong throughout most of our lives. Now, going back to bone histology, the osteocytes are going to be located in little pockets or little cavities within the bone, and these cavities are called lacunae. So the osteocytes exist in the lacunae, which are little pockets in the hard bone tissue, and this is where the osteocytes basically live their entire lives. They don't move around once they're in the lacunae. They are basically stuck there. Between the lacunae are going to be little tiny canals, and these are called the canaliculi. They're little narrow passageways through the bone material, and the osteocytes actually send out extensions of cytoplasm and can communicate with one another from one lacunae to the other. And this is also how different materials that the bone cells need are moved throughout the bone tissue. So oxygen, nutrients, and so on are transferred through the canaliculi from one lacunae to another so that the osteocytes can gain the oxygen and the nutrients that they need, and also so that waste products can be removed from the area. Now, the matrix of the bone, the hard portion of the bone that makes up most of what we think of as bone, is made of two major components. The first is hydroxyapatite, which is a salt. It's a calcium salt, calcium phosphate, and also calcium hydroxide crystals. This is a very hard and inflexible material. It's basically why the bones are stiff and hard. However, it is very brittle. It cannot withstand compression very well. So the other component of the bone matrix is collagen. About 2/3 of the bone is made up of the hydroxyapatite mineral, And about one-third of the bone material or matrix material is made out of collagen. And collagen, of course, is a protein. It's very strong and very flexible. And what it does is it allows the bone to bend or flex a little bit under pressure so that it doesn't shatter. Now, if the balance of these two components gets out of homeostasis, there can be problems. For example, if there's too much collagen and not enough hydroxyapatite, the problem that will occur is that the bones will become too bendable and too flexible, and they can actually bow, and that's where you get problems such as rickets. On the other hand, if there's an overabundance of hydroxyapatite and not enough collagen, the bones, again, will be very brittle and more prone to potentially shattering. All right, so the combination of these two components allows the bones to resist shattering and yet to be very, very strong. Now, around the bone, you're going to find a membrane called the periosteum, and it has osteoprogenitor cells, which are basically bone stem cells. And these are able to make new bone cells in case of replacing bone cells that might be damaged during an injury and so on. Now, there are different kinds of bone. There's compact bone and spongy bone. And if you look on your diagram, you can see that they show concentric rings. It kind of looks like the rings of a, if you think about cutting down a tree and the rings of a tree that you might see, those concentric rings form structures that are called osteons. So each of those long cylinders, which is made of concentric rings of bone tissue, are called osteons. And in the center of each osteon, there's going to be a central canal. And that canal, or that hollow space in the center of that osteon, is going to contain blood vessels. It's going to have an arteriole and a venule that carry blood. Because keep in mind that the bone has many, many living cells in it that need to be supplied. And so that's where their blood supply is going to come through, is those central canals. Now, branching out perpendicular to the central canals are going to be the perforating canals, and those also, again, will contain blood vessels that are bringing blood to different parts of the bone. Now, compact bone, or this arrangement of osteons, where the osteons are sort of stacked close together and parallel to one another, that's a characteristic of compact bone. This compact bone is important where stresses arrive primarily from one direction. So it can absorb stresses from primarily one direction. Spongy bone, on the other hand, which is the other type of bone, in spongy bone, you don't have the arrangement of osteons in that perpendicular, close set arrangement. Instead, The lamella are arranged in what are called trabeculae, or branching, bridging structures. I don't know quite how to describe them. There's a picture of them in your picture, the structure of osseous tissues. Excuse me. And so, in other words, the bone tissue is not going to be dense, and it's not going to include osteons that are parallel to one another and tightly packed together. It's going to be more of a network of bridges and extensions. Now, the term spongy bone can be very misleading. A lot of times people think, oh, the bone is going to have a spongy texture. You could squeeze it with your fingers. In fact, it's not spongy in that way. It's very rigid. It just looks like the structure of a sponge, and that's how it got its name. So you can't actually squish it with your hands. But it just looks more like a sponge than the compact bone does. Now, the function of spongy bone is to dissipate stresses that could be coming from more than one direction. So what the pattern that we usually see is that spongy bone is going to be located at the ends of the long bones. So, for example, near the joints, near the joints like the knee joint or the shoulder joint or elbow joint, etc. And compact bone is going to make up most of the shaft or the long portion of the bone, and it's also going to form the outer covering of the bone. So always keep in mind these two different kinds of bone, and some bones like the tibia and the femur and so on, and many of the long bones, in fact, have both types of bone. And both are important for absorbing different kinds of stresses. Now, surrounding the bone, you're going to have a membrane called the periosteum. And the periosteum is going to be very fibrous. It is a membrane that supports and protects the bone. Part of its function is for the ligaments that actually attach bones to other bones are going to attach to this periosteum and not to the bone itself. The periosteum is also going to be continuous with the joint capsule. So it's a membrane that surrounds the bone, but it's also going to be part of the joint capsules where bones articulate with other bones. Now, another important membrane is going to be lining the inside of the bones. For those bones that have marrow cavities, including some of the long bones of the arms and the legs, for example, there's another membrane called the endosteum, and it lines the marrow cavity. It's not as tough and fibrous as the periosteum is.